Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Community Foundation of Greater Memphis and by the Orpheum Theater. Our friends at the Rhodes College Communities in Conversation Lecture Series are having one next Thursday, October 18th, which looks very interesting. Stephanie Elizondo Griest, and she's going to give a reading and lecture based on her most recent book, All the Agents and Saints, Dispatches from the U.S. Borderland. Certainly sounds timely. Jonathan Jakin is the Spence L. Wilson Chair in the Humanities at Rhodes, and Amy Benson is Assistant Professor of English, and they have both joined me today. Welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Jonathan, start us off here and tell us why you brought in this author.
Well, when Amy approached me about bringing in a writer to talk about some of these issues, one of the things that we thought about is, you know, we're in the middle of National Hispanic Awareness Month, but really in a bigger picture, since the elections, we've been hearing so much about borders and building walls, and we really want to explore what the meaning of that is. We have this sense of America as a land of immigrants, but America can also be understood as a land built around the exclusion and inclusion of some immigrants and not others, and also a land really that we should think about not so much almost as a country. I often tell friends in Europe, like, who are first coming to America, you're not visiting a country, you're visiting a continent. Mm. And that gives us a sense of this process by which America's been built through expropriation. And specifically when Amy brought Stephanie Griest to the fore and wanting to bring her to Rhodes College, I was really, really excited about the fact that we could explore some of these issues, and not necessarily from the perspective of a sociologist or an anthropologist who's working on these issues, where sometimes the discourse can be a little bit more analytic and removed. Part of what I really liked about this was that she's a writer, and she's telling the stories about people who are living on the ground in the border, in the South, and in the North. And as a result of that, we get a sense of the humanity and the human beings that are behind these larger, sometimes abstract political discussions that we're having. And once you get into that, some of the complexities of the kinds of decisions that we're weighing become a little bit more clear. So we get a sense of the ways in which these borderlands, which were created in both cases really around 1850 or mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. That sliced through the indigenous people's lands and split the Tejanos and the Mohawks, depending on whether you're in the South or in the North, literally split apart families and created a lot of devastation in people's lives as a result, places where, you know, these are also areas that are relegated areas in a way. Aspects of these stories are invisible. For example, like the environmental devastation that's been created in these areas. So really what I loved about this was that a writer brings to the fore the human and the moral costs of the kinds of decisions that we have to make as a nation now as we weigh questions about immigration and borders and walls. And that's what we were hoping that she would bring to Rhodes College and to Memphis.
Amy, so tell us about Stephanie Elizondo Griest and this book, All the Agents and Saints.
She is a literary journalist who has who grew up on the border, on the southern border in Texas, and she left that community to travel the world and gather stories from Russia and China and Mongolia. Lived all over the world trying to sort of become close to communities and to be able to sort of pull stories and observe very carefully what those communities care for and to be able to represent that to the world, really taking on the ethical questions of representing other cultures. Mm-hmm. And in this book, I was so interested that she was returning to her community to notice a great number of changes. When she was growing up, it was very, it was part of their culture to cross the border very easily to visit relatives. She has many Mexican relatives, and just how difficult that is now, that these, that there was a sense of being able to pass. There was a recognition that that communities cross borders, that borders are artificial. They are, you know, and they become, so she comes back to find them highly militarized and very deadly. That it is, she has several chapters where she is out in the desert finding bodies with the people who are responsible for this, and a very a quest to understand one particular death where there's no way to find the woman's family, to contact them, to know who she is, and just to try to bring her experience to life by trying to imagine that that border crossing, what that experience was like, to find that she had risked everything and to, you know, to come to the end of her life in the desert alone, without any way to you know, contact family or to be be remembered. So that was a, you know, particularly moving story, especially as we hear, you know, this summer about family separation, and just recently about, you know, sort of secretive activities of moving children in the night to tent cities, trying to bring, again, the human stories that Jonathan mentioned into the light, so that there isn't this sense of being able to do and hide the industrial pollution, the, you know, the human cost of border maintenance and militarization. So that was a, huge part of being able to bring her to campus, but also to recognize the similarities to northern borders, which I think here we don't have as much of an understanding of, or, or don't think of it as in part of the Southern consciousness as much, but to be able to find the parallels, that this was another community who, that is split in half, that, you know, is also, you know, sort of a dumping ground for industrial pollution, is, has been separated from their culture and their history in ways that the Tejanos have been as well, that language has been, there's a concerted effort to erase language and cultural traditions, and she's trying to, you know, show the efforts to revive them within the communities.
Just to amplify a couple points, you know, one of the important things about juxtaposing these two borders is that telling the story of the Mohawks in the north reminds us of the history of Native Americans, and really, you know, to use a loaded term, the genocide of Native American culture, obviously not completely, because a lot of the stories in here, it really should be emphasized, are stories about activists and artists and people who in all kinds of ways are resisting. Also the stories of resilience, the ways in which people go about their lives and sort of remake their lives in light of the fact that we have erected these borders and boundaries. And the other thing is also just, it's so important to remember that borders are not permanent. They have changed and shifted and have been constantly negotiated and renegotiated through all of human history. We oftentimes take these things to be absolutes, and this is the territory of the United States. We need to maintain a sense of sovereignty about it, right? That's the operant term in the discourse today, sovereignty. But when did that sovereignty shift? What are the power relationships that have resulted in that? What are the ways in which that's impacted the people's lives who were a part of those places, who navigated back and forth between the, these different areas? And then just the last thing, which is that Amy was telling me that one of the things that's important for her about bringing Greased here is that she's also transforming a genre of writing. So she's a travel writer who has taken this historically colonial enterprise. For those of us who teach the history of colonialism, travel writers are really kind of at the origins of that story. And she's attempting to decolonize that particular genre. I don't know if you want to say a little bit more about that, but to me, that was something also really important about Greased's approach.
Yes.
That's a really good point, because I know that that Amy, one of the things that you are one of your part of your interest and specialization is in what you call creative nonfiction, which I think is so valuable in this, maybe specifically this case.
Yes, she. I would agree with Jonathan that she's really leading the way in resisting the and calling attention to the fact that this is a colonial can be a colonial enterprise of dipping into a culture and, you know, sort of, you know, glibly taking observations and spinning a story and, you know, having it published back in your native land. But she's she has a set of rules that she and she teaches writing as well. But she speaks around the country about this of. You know, live in a place no less than a year. Make sure that you, you know, are deeply, you're engaging with the language, that you are, you know, sort of deeply kind of engaging with the culture and not, you know, getting an impressionistic, grabbing an impressionistic view and, you know, kind of putting your spin on it. That also that she is not at the center, even though she's exploring this with fully with her identity as part of her lens. She doesn't place herself at the center. She's doing what she calls testimonio, a story of witness, a document, bringing together a document of witness of what she's seeing and relating that to experience that she has. There's a moment where she is. In the Mohawk Nation, she is she's documenting this school that is only taught through the Mohawk language and trying to resuscitate Native traditions through the schooling. And she is recalling a moment that her mother had her mouth washed out with soap for speaking Spanish in school, and you know, sort of being able to identify again the connections between the communities. So in that way, she's really transforming. She's a voice. She will be in the national nonfiction conference this year. She's a keynote speaker to again raise awareness about the ethics around being a storyteller and trying to, especially when you're telling stories from cultures that are not your own.
We're talking about the next lecture in the Communities and Conversations series at Rhodes. It is next Thursday, October 18th. The reception is at 6:30, the lecture at 7, and this will be in Hardy Auditorium there on the Rhodes College campus. It is Stephanie Elizondo Griest on Dispatches, All the Agents and Saints Dispatches from the U.S. Borderlands. And if you'd like more information, of course, you can go to facebook.com, Communities in Conversation, Twitter, Instagram, or rhodes.edu and get more information there. I'm talking with Dr. Jonathan Judakin and Amy Benson. This seems like exactly the sort of thing that Communities in Conversation really exists for.
Yeah, exactly. The whole point is to try and think about issues from that are on all of our minds that we're talking about across our dinner tables and in our churches and in the, you know, in the interwebs, and to do so from a perspective that can alter our viewpoint, right? Ultimately, I'm always trying to figure out how can we have a different kind of conversation than the one that feels so polarized, so binary, so stultified. I just got to say one other thing about this, which is not only the way that she writes, but she sent us her PowerPoint. And so I encourage everyone to read the book. It's a wonderful series of stories. She's going to convey some of those stories and some of the significance, some of her own story in the writing of the book. But what people who don't come to the event won't get are the PowerPoint is beautiful, and she's brought a whole bunch of these works of art that are going to structure, it looks like, the way that she's going to be talking about the book. And so visually, I think it's going to be really, really arresting. The other thing that I want to say just specifically about that is, you know, one notion that she frames the book around is this idea of Napantla. And she says this, "All my life I've waffled between extremes, gringa, chicana, cosmopolite, cowgirl, agnostic, Catholic, journalist, activist, type A, free spirit. The Aztecs coined a word for living in the state of in-betweenness, Napantla." And I think if all of us could just get in touch with that, we would advance the conversation so much. identities are relational. They're not essential. So we're not any one thing, male or white or black. And part of what she really wants to convey is precisely that in-betweenness and the ways in which borders between countries and borders within the self segregate us from aspects of ourselves. And I think that's really where we want to push the conversation. And I know that Griest is going to help us to do that.
Mm-hmm. She's very attuned to the ironies and you know the that in between space, both in her own experience having, in some ways, in more kind of majority white schools growing up, relinquished some of her Mexican identity and writing. There was a book that she wrote called Mexican Enough, where she spent a year in Mexico, kind of researching and sort of getting back in touch with her culture. And so she's lived that experience of in betweenness, but she's also so attuned to it in the stories that she's telling. So again, as Janice said, it's never you know one thing or the other. It's never absolute. Even among the activists, she's noticed that she chronicles their stories that there's disagreement among them about their approaches and what should be done in terms of problems with borders or problems with police or the legality of some of their choices for making a living and so that there's a lot of gray area that she's bringing to life and not ignoring in the quest to tell stories that are plugged into social justice. It's not an either or equation that if you're trying to champion and call attention to difficulties, you don't have to ignore the ironies and the kind of in-betweenness of the identities.
Like one story is about a border patrol guard married to an artist. Mm-hmm. And it's exact like that's it in one family's life.
It sounds like it's going to be fascinating and certainly timely. All the Agents and Saints, Dispatches from the U.S. Borderlands by Stephanie Elizondo Griest. She's going to be talking about this book next Thursday evening at Hardy Auditorium, reception at 6:30. The event will take place at 7. If you'd like more information, of course, go to rhodes.edu or Facebook, Communities in Conversation, Twitter, et cetera, Instagram. This is going to be an important talk and I think subjects that we need to think about. Dr. Jonathan Judaikin is Spencer L. Wilson Chair in the Humanities at Rhodes, and Amy Benson, Assistant Professor of English, my guest today. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.